You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
We're doing it again. Why not? Out there 406 in this great big sky country. It's Tom Schultz from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. Shelby, Haber, Malta, the Tow Rope Tour is on. Thank you guys for being here. Like I say, it's 22 years strong, two decades, working on three. And we're on the air once again, this time of Highline. Shelby yesterday, Haber today. And it's kind of funny. The Highliners are such cool people. And you got to be a little hardy to be a Highliner. The joke that I have heard is that it goes deep into the military circles in Washington, D.C. They're never worried about an invasion from our neighbors from the north, because they always say they're going to have to get by those Highliners first. And they mean it. And today we are honoring Highliners and from Haber, Montana, as Tow Rope Heroes. You guys can go to our website. We want to have you nominate a Tow Rope Hero. That's, I think, an important part of this at northernbroadcasting.com or voicesofmontana.com. There is a zero-turn bad boy mower that we're going to give away to those folks who nominate Tow Rope Heroes and our nominees as well. Got a couple here today. Good lineup. But let's start with Janine Donovan and Wendy Gerke. And good morning, ladies. How's it going?
Good morning, Tom. Thank you for having us. It's going great.
That's Janine. Wendy?
Good. It's going good. I'm glad to be here.
You haven't seen any Canadians invading with intentions to invade recently, have you?
No, we have not.
Okay.
No. I'd sure like to see a few, though.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. How's it been? I mean, you guys are in business. Janine, you work a jewelry store. Right.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Wendy, you've got Barely Square Quilting, which is I can relate to that too. How's it been? And we'll get to some of the things that you were nominated for being Tow Rope Heroes. But mm-hmm. Let's talk real quickly about business this last year without our Canadian neighbors being able to come across on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, for us, I can say that a little over a year ago, of course, we had to shut down for the statewide mandate, which was a challenge. But I will give this Highline so much credit for turning it around. The minute our doors opened, we've been crazy busy for the last year, and we're so grateful for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, we had to shut down also, but we also got to stay partially open because we service and repair sewing machines. So we had every sewing machine that was, you know, in the closet, in the barn, dusted off and brought out to try to get it repaired.
Really?
So, yeah. So we were closed to walk-in traffic, but we would meet them at the door, take machines in, and, you know, get them running for people.
That's interesting. A lot of people shifted their way of doing things, mm-hmm. not only in business, but at home, too. And early on in the pandemic, there was a lot of questions, a lot of question marks, Janine. And it started with masks. There wasn't certainly enough around. This is where you guys decided, hey, we're going to be able to do something. Talk about the idea of how you generated and how many number of masks that you made. You're a jewelry designer, and Wendy, you're a quilter, and you guys are, you know, it's really cool the way you came together. Tell a story.
Mm-hmm. So I was sitting at home one evening, and we had been, of course, asked to shut down for the statewide mandate, and I was watching the news and just kind of watching everything transpire with the pandemic and people not knowing exactly what they can do to help. And me being one of those, I'm a jeweler thinking, well, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a nurse and right. I don't really know what I can do. So as I'm sitting there, this epiphany came to me that I had seen a post on Facebook from Northern Montana Healthcare and a group that had been created by Shannon Hagam, asking people for help making masks because of the potential shortage of the masks. And so I thought, you know, I have this fancy new laser engraver that can do all kinds of crazy things. And I thought to myself, well, maybe I could get the pattern for the masks and format it for my engraver and cut the fabric. And so I ran downstairs in my house and found an old bag of fabric that I have because I am not a seamstress. Let me make that clear.
Wendy's,
I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. I'm not a seamstress. How can I help?
Wendy's not exactly shaking her head. you are. Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah.
Oh, I probably could be if I tried, but if my eighth grade home ec teacher would disagree. Anyhow, So I ran downstairs and I found an old sack of fabric that I had and got kind of excited and I almost went to work that night, but got up the next day and went into work and downloaded the file for the pattern for the masks and then started formatting it for my machine, which took a couple of hours, and put the fabric in. And the first couple runs I had to yank the fabric out, throw it on the floor, and stomp it out because I started it on fire. So I'm like, well, those settings aren't going to work. But didn't take long, and I dialed in the settings and was able to cut the fabric.
When did you get involved in this?
Well, Janine made a post about bringing fabric down, and she would cut it for masks. And so then it was just like, well, I can do this. So I grabbed a couple bolts of fabric, and I called Janine up and I'm like, hey, let's work together. I'll donate the fabric if you cut it. So that's how it started. So we came down and gave her some fabric. And we found out that some fabric worked better than other fabrics.
I would imagine, yeah.
So that's kind of how it got started.
A little trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you got the resources, you got the design down, and then the word went out that I can help people, right?
Yes.
Talk about distributing those masks.
Then the word went out. Because we were shut down, we had the challenge of having to meet people at the door to get the material from them. They would drop off their material, leave their name and phone number. We would get all of the patterns cut out of the fabric, and then we would call them. When it was done, they would come pick it up. I really want to give credit to all of the seamstresses out there that donated their time, their machines, their thread, their blood, sweat, and tears in making the masks. There were so many people in this community that stepped forward, not only in Havre, but on the High Line. I think the Guilford Hutterite Colony made 300 masks, I think, and donated them and dropped them off up at the hospital. So really, it was just basically time and effort and on my behalf and my equipment. And being shut down, it was perfect because it kept my mind busy and gave me something to do and a sense of being able to give back.
Wendy, what were the favorite patterns? I think people, they were just happy to have a mask. I didn't know that they had to be seamed together as well. And so you had to have a lot of people, I'm sure, that you knew. As you said, they came in and they wanted their machines working. I mean, people shifted an awful lot during this to be a little more self-sustaining and a little more community-minded.
Right. Well, after we got the patterns cut, she cut a whole lot of masks. So then we had to find people to sew them. So I contacted some of the seamstress through the shop and found some people to sew them. And Ginny's right. The Guilford Colony sewed a lot of masks. And then
what's a lot?
300 at a whack. And then they were also showing, somebody was sewing gowns. But so then I had, my phone was just ringing off the wall because people wanted to know how to make the masks and what you needed in the masks, which, truthfully, we didn't really know that answer. I don't think anybody still knows that answer. So we did the best with what we could do. And then later on, after that first kind of run, we had another call for masks again. And so I had the hospital contact me, and one of their groups was willing to purchase fabric if I could find somebody to sew it.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave them it below cost, and I cut them all out. And this time, instead of more of a rounder format, we just did square, which worked well. And then East End Colony, he'd been calling me, asking me, do you got something for us to sew? So he came out and picked it all up, and they sewed another, 250, 300 more masks.
And they were all distributed locally here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Most, first of all, to our first-line medical professionals, and then eventually to the public, I suppose, right?
Correct.
They just give you a call and said, come and get a mask. And I know that the Havre community has been very concerned, took lots of precautions when it came to the pandemic? And I think that would you say, you know, how long did it take for the community to kind of recognize that this was something that we needed to address as a community, Janine?
Well, I think, you know, it's still kind of one of those things where people will either wear a mask or they won't. And it's a personal decision. And for us, it was simple. We wanted to protect ourselves and the people around us and the community and try to keep their numbers as low as possible and ultimately not lose anybody. I think being able to provide the face masks and having certain protocols in place at our store, we still have those protocols in place. So we'll continue to do that probably until the fall, and we'll see what the numbers are like then and go from there.
Yeah. How about you, Wendy?
Well, I think the community came together quite quickly. You know, once you got to have that first person to make that first move. So once that first person made that move, I think, you know, I know several quilters that were just making a lot of masks, and you'd see posts up there that they've got masks. You know, if you need them, get a hold of them. And for us at the shop there, for being shut down, and then what we would do also is people would call in and ask if we've got, you know, the elastic or if you've got, you know, the right type of material and do we got the filters and all the stuff. And we could meet them at the door with what they wanted. And now we are, you know, our store is large enough. We can do a lot of social distancing. So we will wear masks as people come in if they want, you know, but my shop's big enough that I feel we can do the space. But everybody has been great. As far as like any quilters coming in, you know, I think they all have the common courtesy that if they didn't feel well, they wouldn't be there. And so I think they've all done very well. And I'm proud of our community for how they stood up and helped everybody out.
Yeah, and that's what the Toe Rope Tour is about, too, is to, because in Montana, like we say, we carry a toe rope because we don't leave folks stranded alongside of the road. And this is what you guys have done. Janine Donovan and Wendy Gerke, as we're here in Habra at the Diesel Tech building. We'll talk about that, MSU Northern, in just a bit. Before we go, maybe we've got about a minute and a half here. Who would you say, now you were nominated as a toe rope hero, both of you. Who would you say, Wendy, pardon me, Janine, is a toe rope hero to you? Who during this time would come to mind?
Oh my goodness, that's tough. I think there's.
I know you don't want to forget anybody.
I know
there's so many.
There are so many people in this. I just think the entire community and the Highland coming together to step up and help each other out. And for us to be nominated for this was a great honor, and certainly unexpected. And we just, for myself personally, I know I can say that I give back to the community whenever I can. If it wasn't for the community, we wouldn't be here. So the community is my total hero.
Yeah. Well, Wendy, she stole that from you then.
Yes, she did. Sorry, Wendy. But that is the truth. If it wasn't for them, you know, where would we be? So, and it doesn't matter what the situation is. It seems like our community will step up and fill that need.
Definitely.
Yeah. And there have been, as we, I guess, I talked to a lot of folks in getting the show together here, everybody's talking about everybody else around here, and that's really cool. Teresa Zorin is going to join us here in just a bit. A gal named Brandy Kurtz is also going to be alongside. We're going to have Chancellor Greg Kegel in as well, since we're on the campus here of MSU Northern. But Janine Donovan and Wendy Gerke, thank you guys for doing what you do. I very much appreciate what you guys have done. And I'm sure next time something is needed, that hand goes up, doesn't it?
That's right. That's right. Thank you for having us, Tom.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom. We're going to take a short break, and we'll come on back with more here, as I mentioned, from the Diesel Tech Center. 150 Diesel Tech students. It's one of the premier Diesel Tech centers in the United States from MSU Northern. Our Tow Rope Tour is brought to you proudly by Mountain Health Co-op. And again, it is from Montana for Montana. Voices of Montana. Joining us here, Habra, Montana. It is our tow rope tour along the High Line. We tease our High Line friends because, as I mentioned, you know, it takes a special somebody to live up here. But the community is so tight. very tight as we are finding that out as we're talking about our tow rope heroes. If you want to nominate a tow rope hero, don't forget, this tour is going to be in western Montana at some point later on. We're going to go to southwest Montana. We're going to eastern Montana. And it doesn't matter if we are taking this tow rope tour and we're really not in your community. If you've got a tow rope hero, please nominate them. We're going to talk about them on the air. And when you do that, you'll be entered for this bad boy zero turn mower over here that Brandy Kurtz has got her eye on. How are you doing, Brandy?
I'm doing good.
Thank you for being here. Again, voicesofmontana.com or northernbroadcasting.com for the tow rope tour. Tom Schultz alongside. Let's start with, okay, you were nominated by Kyle Leeds here, and Kyle's involved in a lot of things himself. He's one of those tow rope heroes for sure. But here's what he said. Let me see. Oh, Brandy, man, she just does everything. And then he listed it off. The Bear Paw Bowman, the Elk Secretary, the Softball Association, the BFW Women's Auxiliary, Northern Alumni Association, Veterans Chairman at the Elks. I'm sure that list is even longer than that.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah. So, Let me teach you a two-letter word. No.
I can't say that.
Good for you. I know you can't. How busy is your life? Why on all these what's your heart? What's your heart behind all this, Brandy?
To give back to the community that gives to our business. I co-own a business that's been around since 1961 when my grandfather started it. So I am a co-owner with my brother, my dad. We're a team, and in order to get back to those customers, to get back to our business, we have to get back to the community in many, many ways. Veterans are near dear to my heart because my husband is a veteran.
Yeah.
He's retiring actually next week after 20 years in the military. So
congratulations to Robert.
Anything veteran related is very near and dear to my heart. Secretary of the Elks, it was just a perfect fit for me. I know computers. I know how to do the accounting. I know how to do all that stuff. So I stepped into that role 12 years ago when Lou Lucky passed away, and I had big shoes to fill, but I've been doing it for 12 years now. 20 years here at MSU Northern. I'm alumni of MSU Northern, went from 01 to 2006 and got 3 degrees from here. So I give back to the college. I give back to everything. I am involved in softball, Bear Paw Bowman, our bowling leagues. I'm on 2 bowling leagues. We just started our VFW auxiliary, and it's not just women, it's men too. It's anybody that's had relatives in the VFW that can join this auxiliary. It's not just strictly to women. And now I just on Sunday got nominated as senior vice president for that. So, and then I also own my own business, a craft business that I do. And then I help with the Bear Paw Volunteer Fire Department, which my husband's very involved in.
Wow.
So,
That's a list. How do you do it all?
I just find time.
You just look, probably because you love it. You love these people. Yeah.
I love the community we live in. I love the people we serve and everything. And if you're not giving back to your community, then it looks bad on a business if they cannot help and step up to help the community that they live in. And since my family's so rooted here, it's a big near and dear to my heart that I step up and help.
All those associations then, I suppose there's some crossover.
There is a lot of crossover.
Yeah.
A lot of intertwining, especially with Kyle Leeds, who nominated me. We are intertwined. We're like brother and sister. We're intertwined with softball. We're intertwined with the Elks. We're intertwined with the college. So everything meshes together, and we're like brother, sister. So I cannot say a bad thing about him. I greatly appreciate that he nominated me for this. I don't like recognition, but
I know.
Yeah.
Well, then talk about some other people then. I mean, obviously, you're involved, like you said, the Bear Paw Bowman, the Elks. Who are tow rope heroes to you?
My dad. Yeah. My dad's a big one. He is the president of Bear Paw Bowman Archery Club. He's the president of the college rodeo board here at MSU Northern. He just gets involved like I do. He likes to be busy. We don't like to sit still and do nothing. We like to help our community. Also, my brother, he's a big supporter to me, supporter to our business, and he owns his own business also. And so he's on the volunteer fire department. And then there's my husband, who I just can't say any bad things about. He is my hero. So
that's great. Yeah. So through the pandemic, with all those associations and organizations, talk about how how you guys maintained and continued to move forward, drew closer, but still were able through this pandemic to do the activities and events that you love so much.
It was tough. I'm not going to lie. It was really tough, especially when I had to go to Zoom meetings and try and teach the older people how to get on technology. And so we'd come together and we'd do little pods of Zoom and stuff like that. And so it was different. I'm not going to lie. It was a struggle with some of the things.
Yeah.
Softball still went on because it was an outdoor activity. But the Elks, I mean, if it wasn't for some of those grants out there for the nonprofits, I don't think that we would have survived at all.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad to hear that.
Yep.
Just keep chugging away.
Yep.
Okay. Do that. Yes. I know everybody here in the community, as you mentioned, Kyle had all, they would all just say, thank you so much for what you do.
Well,
and you probably got boundless energy. And I want some. I'm getting some of that from you right now. Okay. Yeah, rub some of that on me.
Maybe the Kurtz blood has that.
There's some of that going on too. Thank you, Brandy.
Perfect.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yep. That's Brandy Kurtz, a tow rope hero here in Havre, Montana. We'll take a break as we got headlines upcoming. And then Teresa Zorn will join us next. It's the crown jewel of the High Line. But I think as we rode down the High Line yesterday, every one of these little towns said they are the crown jewel of the High Line, too. That's part of the pride that these Highliners have in their communities. You talk about Joplin, Inverness. We stopped off at Chester and visited with the FFA students there. Really cool to be back up here as we are out 406ing and honoring those folks who are helping their communities as part of the Tow Rope Tour. I'm Tom Schultz. And Teresa Zorn now joins us here live on Voices of Montana, nominated by Julia Robbins at the Chamber. And thank you for being here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about what it is that you did. And I think it was real important because I know our medical professionals, they had our frontline workers, all of them. They couldn't take the day off.
No.
This was real difficult on them, and it was your heart to encourage them. How'd you do it?
Yeah, actually, I got the idea from Laura Scheel. She she owns some kind of jewelry. Thank you, Origami Owl.
Oh, nice.
And she did a donation for the teachers. She did little lockets and stuff. Uh-huh. And she does it every year. And I got the idea from her. And my husband and I actually came up with something for us to give to nurses just because they are working so hard. They've been nonstop. And
yes.
You see, you know, those pictures of their masks with their faces. It's just like, it's heartbreaking. And it's hard for their families not to see them. So we just wanted to do something nice for them. I created a face group. I reached out to Jody Shea Whitmer, and she helped me kind of nominate the first couple nurses. And this just blew up. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. I was thinking maybe 50 people. You know, our community is small, but it's great. My Facebook page went like bonkers. I got nonstop messages, nonstop nominations, people not nominated and wanted to just purchase their nomination. And it was something else. I mean, I cried so many times because it just warmed my heart. Like, I had nurses nominating nurses and buying for nurses. And it was just so heartwarming that it was a lot of them in their own little community helping each other out too. And, you know, it reached all the way. I got people in Arkansas. I got people in California.
Wow.
Yeah, it was all over the place. And, you know, I had to ship those. Everybody got a canvas bag, a little necklace, a mug, because, you know, they love their coffee.
Oh, yeah.
We all love our coffee.
We do, right.
And then I think I put a gift certificate in there, too, for the store, so they could just get something from for themselves, too.
The store being the key.
Yes, the key,
store.
Yep. Yeah, so we just...
Amazing how it just kind of blew up. And what we're learning here, I got just about a minute and a half. We're learning here is that you just step out. You just take...
Yeah.
You just start the process.
Mm-hmm.
Who came alongside for you? As you mentioned, all those people. But
who
would you say is a tow rope hero in the effort that you put together?
I would say my biggest help was my best friend, Taylor.
Yeah.
She was also one of my employees. And she helped me put the bag together, pick everything out. She helped me figure out, you know, what bag is going to who we need to ship it to, addresses. I had to create a big old spreadsheet to figure out who nominated who and, you know, those kinds of things and make sure that everybody got thank yous.
Yeah.
It was a big effort.
Talk about what that did for your heart and what that does for your confidence in this community going forward too.
Like I said, I sat there on my phone or my computer and just cried to myself a couple of times because it really did warm my heart. Like, it just, the community, and like I said, I didn't expect it to blow up as it did. And there's just been so many people reaching out, and they're still reaching out.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, you know, we just, now we have this little Facebook community, and it's great. And, you know, people are just thanking other people, and they're saying just such beautiful things about their friends and their coworkers.
It's
and
so rewarding.
It
to,
really
to
is.
How many, real quick, how many did you distribute? How many gifts do you think?
I think I did 120.
Yeah, that's encouraging a lot of people at a time when they really needed that encouragement.
Yeah.
Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you.
Teresa Zorn from The Key here in Happy, Montana. Come on back with more of the Total Rope Tour from MSU Northern today on Voices.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today.
Thank you so much for being here. Appreciate that. Again, the Tow Rope Tour Highline this week. You know, we visited Lewistown, Great Falls, and Helena. Lots of great stories about people who are helping their communities. And again, there's generally a short list of folks who do it on a regular basis, but there's also those hidden stories that people are out there just doing the right things for the right reason. And this is kind of what we like to tell as well, but also to honor those folks who do step up on a regular basis. Tom Schultz alongside. We should have a word with Chancellor Greg Kegel here in a little while from MSU Northern. We're at the Diesel Tech Center here. We're speaking with Dean Stephen Dawn. Been here 18 years. You know, they've got, it's a top-notch facility. I think it's 3 years old, 150 Diesel Tech students. I got to tell a story. We were in Shelby yesterday, and at the hotel in the morning, there was a gentleman who said, are you guys going to have her? They have got one of the best Diesel Tech centers in the country. And he went on and on and on. And so it has carried. A lot of folks are real proud about it. And obviously you can see this new facility here is well worth that. Now joining us as we are talking about Tow Rope Heroes, Lindsay Lorang from Montana Legal Services Association. Lindsay, good morning. How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you for being here. Did you bring the snow?
I didn't.
You did
no.
too?
No.
No.
I think
not
you did.
Okay, maybe I did. Yeah, right. Thank you. A lot of people in your organization, let's talk about what you do. And because I think this is where, in what you do, you come across a lot of Tow Rope Heroes, don't you?
Absolutely. So what I'm doing right now is I'm actually contracting with Legal Services. Legal Services received money through the CARES Act to establish the Montana Eviction Intervention Program, or MEEP for short, because of the crisis created by COVID-19 in terms of people being evicted from their homes. The problem with that is that when people get evicted from their homes, they're more likely to move in with relatives, couch surf, or of course, go into homeless shelters. And so then you have people mixing and mingling much more than we want. The virus spreads and it becomes a bigger public health issue. So my job is to help residents stay in their homes.
Yeah.
With the support of the CDC moratorium on eviction and the statewide moratoriums that have been placed on eviction since last year.
Yeah. Was that working? You know, the moratorium. Did landlords respect that? Did clients and tenants, they needed that service from time to time as well? But did they abuse it? You know what I mean?
So that's a very interesting question because I think, especially if you were to speak to some judges, you would hear that there was abuse of that. On the CDC level, the moratorium is really about keeping people in place.
Yeah.
And so there weren't a lot of restrictions placed on who is eligible for the moratorium other than a financial restriction. In Montana, they looked at vulnerable populations and making sure that people with specific diseases and things like that weren't being evicted. And so when you look at the CDC level, where it's a pretty low threshold to take advantage of the program, I think certain people were concerned that there were abuses. But the point is, this was a program that was put in place to help the public safety of the entire country. And so it's not so much a concern of whether or not it's being abused, it's whether or not it works. And there is preliminary data to show that keeping evictions down keeps the spread of the disease down. So it has been successful. And as far as landlords following it, I do have this job because landlords do not always follow the rules.
Yeah.
And so there has been a problem where even when people provided the necessary paperwork, the landlords were attempting to evict them in spite of the moratorium. And so that's where I come in to help with the legal process.
What did this tell you about our housing issues in Montana?
They are severe. Yeah. Available housing, affordable housing, is not out there. I have many clients who, as a result of the eviction process or as a result of the legal proceedings, they are interested in moving to a different location, and they simply cannot. It's not a matter of they're being obstinate or they're trying to stay where they are just to mess with the landlord. They want to move somewhere else, but they cannot because there's not affordable housing. And lately, there just is no housing, period. There's nowhere for them to move into. So many of my clients are looking at moving out of state.
The solutions – now, we've had a housing issue in Montana really for 2 decades. For certain populations in particular or certain communities in particular, there have been various policies that have been proposed to try and address that issue. Have there been some that you have found that you would favor, or are they still looking for that answer out there?
I think we're still looking for the answer. Yeah. I think, you know, there is a lot of development going on, but a lot of times that development is perhaps geared towards people with greater incomes, yeah. You know, looking at second homes, vacation homes, things like that. We need to have just the run-of-the-mill condos, apartments, houses that regular Montanans can live in, and that just isn't out there right now.
Who is a Toro Piro for you in what you do with the Legal Services Association?
Well, our team has been amazing. Like I said, I'm a contract attorney, so I'm just working from home, and they have provided such amazing support in terms of the documents I have access to, answering questions, things like that. Amy Hall is a senior housing attorney with Legal Services, and she has just spent so much time reviewing my documents, editing my documents, answering my questions. She's been amazing. And then Rachel, who's the disaster project coordinator at Legal Services, also spends so much time to make sure that the attorneys have what they need to do their job.
Yeah, thank you for what you do. Thank you. Them for us too.
I will.
For keeping the community strong. That's Lindsay Lorang with the Montana Legal Services Association. We'll take a break and come on back. Let's get into what's going on here at MSU Northern. Chancellor Greg Keigo will join us here. It's from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana.
And that is
exciting. All right, welcome back. We're here at the MSU Northern campus, beautiful campus. It's all green, and now it's all green and white. So got a little snowstorm here in May. Chancellor Greg Keigo joins us here from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana, as the tour rope tour along the High Line. It's brought to you by Mountain Health Co-op. Check out their website. Check out our website. Love to get your tow rope nominations, people who do nominate, and those who are nominated are going to be we'll put their hat in this drawing for this bad boy zero turn mower. I think I'd love to cut your grass around here with one of those things.
No doubt.
Yeah. Chancellor Keigo now here on Voices. Thanks for being here. Appreciate that. How you been?
I'm good. We're good. Actually, we are pretty good.
Good.
Yeah.
Glad to hear it. You know, I was talking with some of the instructors here at the Diesel Tech Center, which is where we're at. And we want to get into that a little bit. Corey, stop by too. Talking about all the steps that MSU Northern took to, and you guys went above and beyond, is what they were talking about in dealing with the pandemic, and not just saying, okay, we're going to fold or we're going to just close in and get through it. You guys had been determined, I think, through this to educate through this. Talk about that process.
Well, yeah, it was an amazing process, really, when you think back. We were dealing with a pandemic that we knew nothing about. A virus that we knew nothing about. It happened almost overnight.
Yeah.
And and a university is a place, you know, a gathering of people. I mean, so it wasn't like we could distance, like we could run away from it. We had people here. We had people that were coming here. We had people from out of state, in state.
And hands-on learning is a big part of that.
Yeah. And so then, I looked at the options. What do we do? Do we close the university down? Do we close down classes? Do we tell students not to come to school? You know, all of those things were going on. And how do we do it? And there was a lot of fear, too, in it because of the unknown.
Yeah.
But We did. We rallied, and we formed a task force that I call it my COVID-19 task force. And basically, their charge was, you guys tell me everything that I need to know about what's going on.
Yeah.
And gather as much factual information, scientific information. Let's make decisions on this campus based on, you know, facts, not, and let's not run totally scared, you know. And so that's what we did. Those were the steps. We met every single morning at 8:30 in the morning and went through what we knew for the day and then made decisions based on that. And I think that overall, Northern probably honestly did come through this as good or better than, you know, my competitors.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate to sound too brash about that, but we did well.
Yeah.
A lot of, and I will tell you, there's a lot of unsung heroes across the board with that.
There has to be.
Yeah. The faculty. When I told them that they're going to have to do a lot remote, they're going to have to change their methods in the middle of a semester. The students who, at the same time, they were all hands-on, face-to-face, and then telling them the same thing. The thing about all that is that everybody knew that we were all in it together. It wasn't just us at Northern, us in Havers, the state, the nation, you know, the world. And I think that...
interesting.
It was really...
Why was that important, you know?
Just in the way that they embraced it. And they said, okay, let's do it together. Let's get through this the best that we can. And we did. And some of the amazing things that came out of that, the switch up, the fact that we had to be nimble and quick and do things differently, things that some of us old guys, you know, have been doing forever. You know how...
Yeah.
You know, new tricks for an old dog's heart.
true story.
Yeah, and it is. But they did fantastic with it. And I can't thank everybody enough from start to finish. The students, I always tell the story about, you know, spring break last year, sitting there and contemplating whether we call students, tell them not to come back to school. What chancellor in his right mind would ever do that?
Right, yeah.
And so, yeah. But we did what we had to do. To date, we haven't had one transmittal of the virus from student to student.
That's remarkable.
It's remarkable.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when we ask them to wear face masks, they wear face masks. When we ask them to distance, they distanced. When we asked our staff to clean and sterilize, they did all of those things. And they did. And not a complaint yet from a student, a faculty or a staff member on this campus, not one.
Yeah, that's got to do your heart, you know, just proud.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
I'm proud.
Chancellor Greg Kegel with us here, MSU Northern. Beautiful campus, as I mentioned. And things are moving and shaking here. I mean, we've got this new diesel tech center we've talked about. The ag mechanics is not far off. I'm understanding there's something kind of coming down the pike here.
I'll just tell you that got an interesting charge because we have so much customer satisfaction with our product, which is our graduate, that we formed a lot of advisory boards. We call them industry partnerships, and they support the university. The building that we're in right now, half of the cost of this $10 million project was their private money.
Wow.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
And they did it because, you know, I guess it's a vote of confidence for what we do and who we are and the type of products that we have. But they also need them. And, I've got a lot of stories about my industry partners calling me and say, you know, what's up? We needed 10. We only got 2. And so with that, you know, what I'm trying to do is build enrollment. And so on the campus, I'm trying to make the campus as inviting to a potential student and as inviting to a current student as we possibly can. And so that evolves around student life and activities on the campus. So the building was a huge upgrade. It's the nicest building in the country.
Yeah.
For what we do here. And it is. And I've been told that by people that recruit nationwide.
Well, and so. I shared the story earlier that folks, as we're traveling along the High Lines, like, go to MSU Northern, visit the Diesel Tech Center. It's the best in the place. You know?
It is.
So,
I mean, we've done that, but we still have to get kids in the front door.
Yeah.
And I tell my industry partners, you know, it's nice that you come here and get them out the back door, but you got to help me get them in the front door.
Gotcha.
And so my part with that is to build the campus so that it's what a student would expect in a comprehensive four-year university. So we have to have amenities. We have to have buildings like this. We have to build a new stadium.
Yeah.
And I do. I'm working on a project right now, and I just...
Can you mention it? Or?
I will mention it. It's still a little bit, but we just did the final assessment, appraisals of some property, and it's a $2 million deal to build an equine center on that will support our rodeo program as well as the minor that we're putting together underneath our egg program in equine studies.
A good fit here for MSU Northern.
Truthfully, this is horse country, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And the school with the egg program, the egg Northern Egg Research Center, the combination.
And the rodeo is a strong program, too. Yeah.
And so I'm really looking forward to that. I'm a horse guy anyways, and so I've got a little bit of interest that way with that. But at the same time, it's a fit for the town, the region, and the school.
So, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
Well, good. We'll kind of follow that. I'm very curious about that as well. We only have like about 30 seconds left. Is there a total payroll? I mean, you're just too many to thank. I know. It's not fair to ask that question. But
I can't just individually name a person, but I can tell you that our student body and what they did to help us adjust to what we needed to do through this whole last 18 months, I would give it to my students.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate that. And that's kind of, I think that shows in everybody we have talked to and everything around here too. Congratulations. I'm just going to say keep up the good work. Okay. Cause, it's, you have to kind of, there's no calling it in. You have to go every day and go hard. Chancellor Greg Kegel, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys, and thanks for coming up to Northern.
Thank you. We'll be back, okay? Yeah, yeah.
Take care.
All right. Thanks to Eric Young, our in-studio engineer, and all the guests here, our friends at KPQX, Kyle Leeds from Havre, Montana here, our affiliate. We're going to continue. We're in Malta tomorrow. It's a tow rope tour. We're going to roll on along the High Line. Visit us at northernbroadcasting.com. Nominate your tow rope hero. Take care.